Portland, Oregon, downtown Portland. Feels
your old stomping ground.
Feels unique being here. My old stomping grounds, my home away from home. I spent 9.5 years here, and it is very similar yet eerily different than it was when I was here. Still raining, still cloudy.
Was that just the so it wasn't just the eclipse making it feel eerie? Did you have a prime viewing spot for the eclipse, or you said it's raining so you couldn't see it.
See anything? We had practice today. We actually practiced this morning. We had film breakfast treatment, and I seen on Twitter that there was an eclipse, and I thought to myself, had no idea.
You just found out today that there was an eclipse?
Yeah, I just found out today. Has this like been going on for a long time now?
I mean, they've known for hundreds of years that this was going to happen today.
They have known?
And it's not going to happen again until like 2044.
Mm.
So
how old will I be at that point? 20 years from now.
I mean, yes, 19 years.
I'll be
essentially
50.
20 years.
52.
Yeah, you mean old man. What are you going to be doing at 52? Not knowing about the eclipse, clearly, because it doesn't interest you.
I'll be watching.
At least you're not one of these, the eclipse is dumb. Because I ran into a bunch of those people today around New York City, because a lot were out. And then as soon as they got a hand on one of those glasses, they were like, oh, this is kind of cool.
Did you watch the eclipse today before we get into our actual topics?
I sure did.
How was it?
It was pretty cool. I mean, it was a whatever. It was an experience that was worth having, because I didn't have anything else to do other than watch my daughter's soccer practice and just had to look up with appropriate eyewear to make sure you guys don't go blind, unlike, you know, some other people.
It's actually funny.
It was cool. My daughter thought it was very cool, and I think that's what made the experience. But she came out of school, like, covering her eyes, because I think the teachers, like, put the fear of blindness in them before they left.
That's smart, though, because you don't want to take advantage of the eyes to the point in which they don't work anymore over viewing something you can see online.
That's a good way to put it. Getting to the point where they don't work anymore.
Yeah, let your eyes not work anymore over seeing something you could see online. So that's uh-huh. Really cool.
Well, you know, you guys eclipse the sun as well.
Ooh, that was good. I did see I seen the Instagram thing about that the other day, about us beating them.
They did drop the ball, though. Where was their digital media campaign? Like, the Suns should have done something.
Yeah, I think
you guys did something.
I think they were just mourning their loss, to be honest with you. But no, that's sick. I think
big win.
It was a huge win. Like, seeing the way we've played, you know, these last few weeks, the injuries, you know, obviously getting Jose back helped, but against a really good Suns team that's playing well, they're healthy, they're at home. We had just lost to the Spurs, which was a terrible loss for us in general because of so many things. But that was a game we needed to have, and we showed up and took care of business. And, you know, with four games left, every game matters.
You put up a 30-piece, by the way.
I did. It was a good game. I shot the ball pretty well. Got some good sleep. I think I got about 9 hours of sleep. I got some meditation in. I got some time outside in the sun. It was just a really good day in general. It was a beautiful day in Phoenix. I don't know if some of our listeners were actually there for the Final Four, but it was picture-perfect weather. It was a really crowded weekend with a lot of traffic and a lot of people, but
yeah,
it was...
Traffic there is terrible. I didn't realize how bad it was.
It was awful, but outside of that, I had a really good time. We got the win, got out of there, and now we're in Portland trying to take care of business against the Trailblazers before we head to the West Coast for, you know, a tough back-to-back against teams that need to win. I think that's the cool part about where we're at in this season is that the NBA.
You're already in the West Coast, by the way.
Pacific Northwest. It's still different. It's like, it's not sunny. It's raining. It's still 2 hours from Cali. Like, it's...
I see. I don't know if I'm going to give that to you because I think it's like West Coast.
It is. I'm wrong. And
I'm just being...
The fact that it took us 2 hours and 20 minutes to get here from Phoenix is crazy, by the way. Like, I thought we were West. Why does it take 2.5 hours to get to LA from Portland? Like, there's so many questions I have, but... Moral of the story is the NBA and the Players Association did a tremendous job of putting together and agreeing upon this playing game, because the games have been very entertaining down the stretch, and teams are playing at a high level, and you're basically getting playoff basketball before the playoffs actually starts, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what Devin Booker told me too. After I had their game against the Cavs earlier in the week, he was like, "They're genius for this because."
So he said, "I'm a genius."
You know it. Yes, there you go. Then that's how you just wanted. Yes, you just wanted to make sure that everyone who wasn't reading between the lines knew that CJ McCollum, president of the Players Association, had a part in.
A small part.
The play-in
I had
tournament.
A small part in
a
it.
A part nonetheless, more than the next guy.
A very small part in it. But it has worked out really well. And I think it's unfortunate that we're in a position to maybe have to be in it. But I think it's just cool to see teams that wouldn't normally have a chance competing at a high level and being able to still compete for something. And I think some of these younger teams across the league, it gives them experience. Look at OKC team that played in the play-in last year. They ended up beating us, obviously. Gave them experience. It gave them the ability to play in a must-win game. You know what I mean? Like, those types of things are important for development and just overall fan engagement. And I think it's really great for a lot of these markets to be able to experience playoff atmosphere and playoff-type basketball.
And this win over the Suns was a monster for many reasons, because you know, you guys and Phoenix have identical records right now with four games remaining. Now the Suns are ahead in the standings because of they own the head-to-head tiebreaker. Mm-hmm. So in order for you guys to pass them, you need to win one more game over the next week. But you know, you guys are pretty much in a good place in terms of making the playoffs, obviously. And it's only been once, you know, the year that you got traded there, that the team has made the playoffs since Zion Williamson was drafted. Before we get into just the outlook for the playoffs, let's just go back to just Zion, who, I mean, couldn't win without your 30 piece, but Zion was dominating on both sides of the court. You know, 29 points, 10 rebounds, career high, 5 blocks. There was one block where he got, I mean, all the way up. And, you know, it was a monster win. Like, how did it feel to you guys?
It felt like a really good win, a win that we needed to have. And to see the way in which we won that game with a lot of different people stepping up, Jose coming back and impacting the game defensively, hitting some big threes, Trey hitting some big shots, Herb getting stops, Dyson hitting big shots, getting stops. Larry making big plays for us, and then Z, you know, his ability to kind of take over a game, you know, and really kind of display his greatness on both sides of the ball, like you talked about, finishing well around the basket. He had a couple pull-up jumpers, seven of his 8 free throws go down, guarding, switching 1 through 5, getting 5 blocks, I think 3 or 4 blocks in the fourth quarter, highlight blocks that kind of shift momentum, change the game, go from, you know, potentially giving up 2 points to being able to start a fast break with his ability to block the shot. I think it was really cool. And I mean, he talked about teams hunting him on defense. He talked about how, you know, he's watched the film and it's made him, you know, kind of lock in more so on that side of the ball. And you could see it, him moving his feet, him getting contests. And even when he gets scored on, it's really good defense. It's just better offense sometimes, which is what you're going to see in this league, especially when you're guarding, you know, some of the best players this game has to offer offensively.
So has it been like a gradual improvement you've seen over the course of the year, his improvement on defense, or has he just kind of turned it on recently?
I think it's been gradual throughout the year. As he's continued to get more comfortable, as he's continued to settle into game shape, as he's continued to better understand our offense, our coverages, how we're guarding, and then the fact that we're a top 5 defensive team, I think all those things play a factor. And as the league continues to evolve, you switch a lot more, which means you're going to have guards on bigs, bigs on guards. You're going to have closeout opportunities. You're going to have, in some cases, size advantages and disadvantages for both teams, depending on how you're switching. And I think that allows for versatility to thrive. And this is a guy who's very versatile. He can obviously guard a lot of different positions. He's strong. He's mobile. He's athletic. And I think you're being able to see the best versions of him offensively and defensively because of our switching defenses, because of our coverages, and him taking the effort and making the effort to guard better players. I think it's on display.
Do you feel like the intensity for him, and I wouldn't necessarily say pressure, but the motivation has kind of increased given that he's on the verge of his first playoffs in his career.
Yeah, I think this is the first time in his career that he's played this deep into a season, which is definitely playing a factor in his mentality, his effort, his mindset, I'm sure, and the stage, like playing against the Suns. They got KD, they got Book. Book scored 50 on us in three straight games, averaging 25 in the first quarter. We're going to have to play against the Warriors. We play the Blazers. We're going to play Sacramento. We're going to play the Lakers. These are all teams that have star power but are also trying to position themselves for the playoffs. And as you ramp up and get ready for the playoffs, you have to approach these games with that same mindset. And I think he's doing that. I think it shows in his preparation, his work ethic, and he was ready to go. And he single-handedly changed that game for us.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you are into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And look at it. I mean, it's a tense next week for all the playoff teams. The next 6 days are going to be nerve-wracking for a lot of specifically Western Conference teams, as three teams are within first, you know, striking distance of first place. Just one game separates the top teams. That hasn't happened in the season's final week in either conference in 16 years. It only happened 8 times ever in NBA history across the East or West. And just 1.5 games separate the 2 and number 5 seeds in the East. And that hasn't happened since 1979. So a lot to figure out in this last week. I know we talked about last week how you guys are not, you know, taking it one game at a time. You're not paying attention to the standings. It's just you can control what you can control. But with so much at stake, has that changed a little bit?
I absolutely think everybody's paying attention to the standings just to kind of see where teams are at. Like, we know we're tied with the Suns. I'm sure they are aware. We know the Clippers have 50 wins. I think a lot of teams know that the Dallas Mavericks have been playing well. You look at Sacramento, you look at Golden State, you look at the Lakers, they've been winning games lately. You are aware, but you also understand that there's so much left to happen over the course of these next 6 to 7 days that you really do have to focus on winning games, because no matter how those other teams do, if you win games, you kind of have a say or control in your own destiny. Now, if you lose games, then you really have to watch closely to kind of see what happens, and you're at the mercy of these other teams. And as teams continue to position themselves and clinch playoff berths, they may begin to rest players or sit players and things of that nature. So that's something to kind of pay attention to with, you know, 4 games left and a lot of these teams having to play against each other down the stretch.
Who do you think gets the one seed when it's all said and done?
I think whoever
In the West.
Whoever actually wants it. I think Minnesota, obviously, no Cat right now.
But, you know, Anthony Edwards did say in his post-game interview that Cat's coming back soon.
Yeah, he did.
I'm not sure. I don't know if he, you know, consulted the training staff.
Was he supposed to?
But.
No clue if he was supposed to say that, soon. But he did.
And they've been very vocal about how they want the one seed. The Nuggets, you know, like, I think they just want to continue to play consistent. And, you know, Shea's injury is kind of, at the end of the season here, is kind of added a little bit of bump in the road for them. But where do you don't know.
I think
you're not going to get
things.
Me.
This is what I'll say. OKC's been sitting Shea. I mean, he's been injured they've sat Jalen Williams for some games. They're good enough to get the one seed. I don't know that they want it. I think they're prioritizing health. I think Denver is in the mindset of, we would like to have the one seed, but we're not going to jeopardize our health to get it. And Minnesota actively wants it, but they also don't have cats, so it's going to be tough for them. But I think it's a matter of who plays their starters the last four games. I don't know that all four teams will do that.
Yeah.
So I think that's what's going to probably determine who has the best chance
of
winning.
Well, that's where the gamesmanship comes in.
Like, who do they want to play?
Who do you want to play? Which matchup is better? And, like, do you rest someone, you know? And how do the rules of resting stars, like, come into play here? There's a lot of gamesmanship going on.
A lot is about to happen, and I can't wait to watch and see. And hopefully we take care of business the way that we're supposed to, so that I can, you know, eat popcorn and watch my son run around during the playing games and just relax.
Well, I mean, we're talking about the top three teams in the West, but the hottest team in the West is the Dallas Mavericks, who won 9 of their last 10. And Kyrie and Luka Doncic, I mean, they are just putting on show after show. And then they're also, I mean, last night's win was pretty spectacular with Dante Exum hitting game tying 3 to send it to overtime on an additional pass, where, like, Luka could have took that shot, and he decided to hit Dante. And those are the type of decisions that build trust with a guy like Dante, who could come up big in playoff series. What do you think of the chemistry you're seeing with this Dallas Mavericks team right now?
I think they're happy. I think they are obviously winning, which helps a lot. But I think there's a unique trust that they're displaying and showing each night with Luka, you know, trusting his teammates, Kyrie, obviously. And then there's an understanding of who to get the ball to when it matters most. And you see Kyrie closing games out. You see Luka closing games out. You see them being able to make the decision as to who should shoot down a stretch of games. And I think that's really important. And then the other side of it is defensively. They've been playing better defensively. Luka's getting stops. Kyrie, they're able to run misses. They're playing really well at home. And just well overall, they've won, like you said before, you know, 4 out of the last – 6, I think they had 2 losses in their last 6 games, 2 losses in their last, I don't know, 16 games, where they've just been really climbing up the standings and jockeying for a position to where now they're basically 2 games out of 4th from the Clippers, where they were in the playing game about a week and a half ago, which shows you how close this has been throughout the entire season, especially the last month.
Yeah, so they're definitely rolling. Meanwhile, on the Eastern side of things, there's some alarms going off around the Bucks, mainly from Doc Rivers, who's been, you know, pretty critical of his team. You know, at one point last week, he said that they weren't acting very professional on the road. They've lost.
What does that even mean?
4 straight.
What do you think that means?
That means, well, the way he described it, they're not showing up with the proper professional mentality on the road. You know, they're not, I don't know, like, they're not showing up to shoot around or taking it seriously, or, you know, like, coming to the meetings. I don't know. You would know better than me. But he was based, you would know what being a professional on the road means.
I mean, we play better on the road.
You're trying, you're right.
Yeah, that's, we play better on the road. Look, we don't have those problems on the road.
No, it's at home. You know, is it Mardi Gras? No, that's back. When is
we,
Mardi Gras?
We miss all
way?
That stuff. February? So you think that would be a factor. That, yeah, that's February. We missed all of that. We didn't get to have any of that fun.
Well, okay. So the Bucks are 15-17 since Doc Rivers took over. And as he said to himself, it's a situation he wouldn't wish on anyone. I laugh a little bit because it's like, You're taking over a very talented team as a head coach with still a chance to win a championship, and you're in the number 2 spot in the East. But it is a hard situation. You know, their 15-17 record ranks 20th in the NBA since January 29th. They have clinched a playoff spot, obviously. But, you know, they could lose that 2 spot. I mean, you know, the Knicks and the Magic, just a game back of them. The Cavs, game and a half back. And the Pacers, 2.5 back. Pacers may be a little hard. But, you know, that is not in any way secure. And, you know, when Doc was asked, like, how do they get out of this slump? You know, he goes, this team is too talented, in my opinion, to go through this, to be in and out. Every team has guys out. I got to figure it out. Who do you think it falls on right now? Giannis, Dame, who's, you know, missed a couple games with the groin injury. Doc, where should the blame be falling right now for this Bucks team to try to figure it out?
I think it's fallen on Doc because of how well they played before he got there in terms of record wise. Although it's obvious they needed to make changes because they made changes. But I think it's usually on the players to drive change. And right now, I think their biggest issue is consistency with rotations and lineups. The trio of Giannis, Dame, and Chris Middleton have played together 4 times in 29 games, which is...
That's insane, yes.
Which is a problem, like, right? That consistency of them not playing together, I think, is affecting their team. Obviously, Dame was hurt with the groin injury, so he wasn't in the rotation or in the lineup for a while. He came back, and then I think Giannis went out, and then they all came back, and then Chris Middleton goes out after getting hit in the face in the second quarter. So they've consistently not had their best players playing together, which is a recipe for disaster, if you're being honest. Like, the best teams in the league are the best teams when their players are playing and available. And I think for them, they've had injuries and things that they can't control affect their lineups, which affects their rotations, which affects their outcome. And the lack of chemistry is probably another factor in why Doc hasn't been able to establish consistency with the roster, because he's not having the same players out there consistently, and he's not having his best players out there playing together, meshing, learning the new system and what Doc wants to accomplish collectively. So I think it's a combination of those things that's been very costly for them. And if you look at their schedule, finishing out the season with Boston, who's already clinched, they're still good even if they sit guys. The Magic, who are hungry. The Thunder, who maybe want to be first, maybe don't. We have no idea. And then they finish with the Magic again, who are literally competing for home court advantage in the playoffs. So this is going to get very interesting for them. And the good news is that they have time to get healthy before April 20th, and they're a lock to be in the playoffs and not the play-in game. The bad news is that they could lose home court advantage and potentially have to face the Celtics earlier, or Joel Embiid earlier.
Well, meanwhile, it's just the Celtics have a 15-game. We were talking about the top of the West. The Celtics have a 15-game lead. They just, I mean, they already clinched the best record in the NBA. Just chilling. I wonder, do you think that's a bad thing for them?
No, I think it's a great thing, because now they got 4 games left and they can kind of figure out who needs to play in those 4 games, who needs to rest and get ready to go into the postseason healthy. They have momentum.
But they're going
to
be basically like 2 weeks off, if you think about it, because they're not playing in the play-in. So they're not playing all next week.
Well, maybe you think about it. It's 4 games left. Play a game, sit a game, play a game, sit a game. You can figure out how to do it strategically, but I think they're prioritizing health. They have chemistry. They played together last year. Outside of Porzingis and Jrue Holiday, the rest of the roster is pretty consistent and fluent.
And KP just won the Eastern Conference Player of the Week? Month? Week month?
Sounds about right. They don't lose games very often.
How's Jrue Holiday? His shoulder injury was a little concerning for a while, but
he played against us when we played, and it seems like it's good enough to kind of get by as it stands, but maybe those 2 weeks will do him wonders to allow that shoulder to rest.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Okay. So you brought up Player of the Week, sorry, with Kyrie Irving. This is what's helpful when you have your computer, when you're doing a show. You brought up the Sixers. And when we did our podcast last week, we were watching Joel Embiid's return as it was going on. So we didn't know how it was going to play out. And he played amazing.
Yeah.
he played amazing. And they're, 4-0 since he's come back. And they've won 5-0 in general. And they have a shot at the sixth seed out of the play-in after, not being without Embiid for, as long as they were. And as mentioned earlier on our last pod, Tyrese Maxey just taking such a huge leap this year. He has 3 50-point games this year.
Which is outrageous.
I mean, he only had 40 points just once in his first 3 years. So obviously Joel also had 50 points three times, and so no team has ever had two players score 50 points three times in a year. It's just that's going to be a hard duo to stop, because Tyrese has, the confidence of a superstar right now and a scorer, and they are going to be a really they're like that Undertaker meme. They have,
A healthy Sixers team is dangerous. And I think looking at the Eastern Conference, obviously Boston is the favorite to come out. Bucks are kind of struggling. Who is that other team that's going to take that next step? And the Cavs, you have all those other teams who are positioning Magic, Bucks, Miami Heat is a sleeper. But who's going to take that next step? And I think it's going to be really interesting to see how these teams finish in the regular season, because that's going to determine matchups. And like you said before, do you want to have to guard Joel Embiid for a 7-game series earlier than expected?
No. And, right now they're in the 7-8 matchup against the Heat, which,
it'll get tricky.
You never know what's going on with the Heat. I have no guesses or predictions for the Miami Heat. But that's what the fun is all about, because we are a week away from the play-in. And that's when things get real. We just wrapped up the women's championship in Final Four. South Carolina getting the win over Caitlin Clark and Iowa. Did you watch?
I watched the first half because obviously we were playing against the Phoenix Suns, because we always have games during the actual games we want to watch. But the excitement, the energy, the crowd, the viewership, the star power, all those things were on display. And it was really fun to watch basketball being played at that level and to be able to see women get the support they deserve and the following they actually deserve was really cool to see.
I mean, it was awesome. And Dawn Staley, what a class act, what a leader, what a coach. It was interesting to kind of see the coverage about how she basically lost all her starters from last year. She was about ready to kind of hang it up at the beginning of the year, and then goes on and wins the national championship. Against, one of the most impactful players ever in college basketball, and Caitlin Clark, who came out on fire. So you saw the first half. So you saw that first quarter. I mean, it was buzzing. The intensity was high, and they were playing hard. Obviously, it's the national championship.
Right.
But it was just a fun experience start to finish. And Dawn Staley, just as much as Caitlin Clark was such an amazing face for women's basketball, so is Dawn Staley.
Oh, I agree. And I think you look at what Caitlin Clark has done, obviously bringing attention to the game, the way she scores, the way she assists, the coverage, the star power, taking Iowa to back-to-back national championships. It was really cool to see. And obviously she's going to take her talents to the W and continue to have a cult following. But Dawn, a former player, a Hall of Famer, right? I think she was Naismith Player of the Year in 91 and 92. Multiple time Naismith Women's Coach of the Year, 2020, 2022, 23, 24. She probably would have won that championship in 2020 if it wasn't for COVID, so she probably would have four. They had 30 wins that year as well. Loses all five of her starters, only returns like 9 through 13 of the roster, brings in some freshmen, brings in some shooting, tightens up the roster, and goes undefeated, and really just shows you the importance of development, the importance of coaching, structure, accountability, the way she coaches those women, the way she speaks to those women and speaks life into those women. You could see that she's a leader in every sense of the word. And it was really cool to just see how they respected her. And then to see the emotions of a woman from Philadelphia, understanding what she's gone through to get to this point, the doubt that she's probably had to overcome in multiple phases of her life to be able to win another championship and just kind of show that she's doing things the right way and building quite the culture in South Carolina is something that was really cool to see.
And it's a perfect launching pad because, you know, it's so crazy that the WNBA season is literally right around the corner. It starts in May, the draft in a week. And so take this momentum from an amazing, amazing women's tournament into seeing Caitlin Clark likely, without a doubt, rather be the number one pick. We'll see how she does on the pro side of things. You saw what Diana Taurasi said,
did. She said, "Ain't sweet. It's not going to be sweet."
So, I think her range is still going to translate. Which, by the way, you know how to shoot the rock, but like an NBA three takes a lot of strength. Like, and shooting from that far out, like, that is not easy. It's like, no, to just make it look as easy as she does.
Especially when the other team knows that you're going to shoot it and they're trying to stop you and you're on the move and you're tired, you're fatigued, all of those things kind of playing a factor. The backdrop being different with you playing in these bigger arenas, sometimes playing in football stadiums. Her skill set is elite. And like you said before, it translates regardless of the struggles that she may go through as a rookie in the league, which is normal. And of course, it's not going to be sweet, like Taurasi said before, but like, she's a icon already. She is arguably the greatest women's basketball player to ever play in college basketball, and is only going to get better, only going to get stronger and learn the game more. So it's only a matter of time before she is doing similar things that she has done in college at the professional level.
I think, I don't want to get into a big debate about this, but I think when it comes to classifying Caitlin Clark, I'm not sure I would go as far as calling her out. Maybe as Dawn Staley said, she's one of the greats. But I think her impact on the game and how she elevated the impact of you know, the game through viewership and interest puts her as one of the greats. I do feel like, you know, it's selling short someone like Breanna Stewart, who won, you know, four national titles, and even Diana Taurasi, who won two. But today's a happy day.
Today's the day we rejoice.
Today's the day we celebrate the women's game, and upward and onward for Caitlin Clark, for Dawn Staley, for the college women's college basketball and the WNBA, and upward and onward for you guys. You know, this has got one more week, and you're now on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. And you finish up with a game against the Lakers. That's going to be a big matchup for you guys to close out the season, because they're playing some good basketball as well. And, you know, they got the best of you guys the last time you faced off. So, you know, how you feeling about, you know, finishing the season with that kind of
belt? Yeah, I think there's a huge sense of urgency right now across the league. I think there's a lot of teams that are gearing up for the playoffs and a lot of teams that are gearing up for vacation and trying to figure out if it's Cabo, Mexico, you know, St. Bart's, Hawaii. And I think for us right now, it's just about, like you said,
what's your favorite of those?
We need to go 1-0. If I had to choose, if I'm West Coast, I'd say Hawaii or Cabo. And if I was somewhere else, then I would say South, different parts of Mexico. And if you really want to take a long flight, just go to Europe. and just kind of travel that way. But
so you just said everywhere.
Well, it depends on where you live. Like, I live in New Orleans now. Like, if I had to choose.
But you're all for the summer, so you could take.
I live in New Orleans.
Whatever type of
life. I live in New Orleans, and I got young kids.
I'm not talking about you. That if you're thinking about a vacation.
Is this for you or for, like, one of my NBA friends?
We were just talking about the people who were preparing for their summer vacation.
Yes, and I think it depends on market. So, like, the guys that are west are going to go Cabo, Hawaii, all those places. The guys that are south are probably going to do St. Barts, Dominican Republic, different parts of Mexico.
You're still in newborn brain where you can't think about getting on any flight longer than
I'm
2 hours with Margo. I'm going
to Florida.
Exactly.
But I think for us, it's like you said, we understand the severity of each game. We understand the game plan discipline we got to have. Starting with the Blazers, we need to get that win. Then we move on to the next one and just try to knock them out and control our own destiny. But, you know, in the back of your mind, you do know, you know, Sacramento, Golden State, the Lakers, they're there. And they're contenders. They're playing at a high level. There's a sense of urgency that they're going to have and they're going to bring to the table. And may the best man win, I think, is the mentality that you got to have. But you just want to put your best foot forward. You want to be playing your best basketball. You want to be healthy and you want to execute. And then whatever happens, happens. You can't control everything. But I think if you're playing your best basketball this part of the season, you can be happy with that.
Well, handle your business then, CJ. And the next time we talk, we'll find out, you know, what the path is ahead of y'all.
I will do.
It's going to be an exciting one either way.
I'll do my very best.
All right. Well, enjoy the West Coast since you're already there.
Thank you. I will figure out what I'm going to eat now and enjoy my evening.
Shouldn't you have people who just bring you food there?
What,
like,
do you think
you're
this is?
Royalty. You're royalty in that
I
city.
Appreciate
Come on now.
You.
They should bring you some fancy donuts. Isn't that what Portland's known for?
We're
what
is known Portland for? Known really for? Good food. Not just donuts, but I do appreciate you referring to me as royalty. Thank you.
Oh, sushi. Our producer, Adi, said they're known for sushi. Maybe that's what you should DoorDash
Bamboo.
Or whatever. Whoever wants to sponsor us. That's what.
Oh, whoever wants to sponsor.
All right, I'm going.
You got baby brain now.
All right, go. Go eat your Portland dinner, and we'll talk next week.
All righty. You have a great one.